You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. As you can see, we are out here in Las Vegas for Summer League. Fubo gave us the bag, let us come and do what we had to do here in the Blue Wire Studios. And we want to welcome the newest member of the Fubo Sports family. We got RJ Hampton in the building. He's got a new podcast, Young Person Basketball Podcast, that's going to be dropping soon.
Yep.
Before we get into that, y'all was getting a little banter before we started the show, so I got to know, 21-year-old RJ versus 21-year-old Gil, who's cooking who?
I'm definitely getting a bucket on you, but you're not scoring that many points on me. I'm not saying you're not going to score. That's what I'm not saying. You're going to get probably 20. You was nice.
In the first quarter.
Nah.
You're right.
Crazy. First quarter. 20 in the first quarter is 80 points for the game, man.
No. What I'm saying is I thrived off of trying to score 50 on first team all defenders. That means you had no chance. First team, anybody who was on the first team all defensively,
you try to get 50.
I put 40 plus on them.
Yeah, that's not me.
You have no help.
They can't guard like me. We're gonna play good team defense.
I've never heard such a thing.
What? Team defense against you?
Never such a thing.
It's never happened.
Never. San Antonio used to try.
I like the confidence though. Yeah,
I like the confidence with both of y'all.
I know, right? It's like, yeah. Scottie Pippen got. MJ got put 41 on.
He was old then.
It don't matter.
He was old then.
I'm not going for that. He had the MJ name.
You can say that though. You can say 40 on MJ.
We got a bunch of questions, but I just want to see y'all talk shit for the whole show.
I'm just going back and forth with you. You got to keep the young kids check
something. Yeah.
Well, RJ, let's talk about obviously new media. You get into the podcast game. What inspired you to do the Young Person's Basketball Podcast? And where'd you come up with that name?
I don't even really know, kind of. I feel like it was a collective decision to come up with the name of it, but I kind of wanted to get into the podcast space just for people my age. There's a lot of guys my age that don't listen to podcasts, really don't even really know what podcasts are. And I feel like, coming from, just being out of high school 3 years ago, I think it'll open another avenue for people, high schoolers and 21, 22-year-olds to even get into the podcast space or just learn about it and start watching them.
You know what I like about, that you're in it so early. What I mean early by age, yeah. Right? You are so new to the league that your fans get to go through the experiences with you.
Right, yeah.
Once a guy is Draymond, he's already,
right.
Three-time champ by the time he, got his podcast. So yeah. He's already a veteran. Right now, everyone gets to, live it with you.
Right.
The bad records, the glories, the career highs, they get to really feel that experience with you.
No, facts.
So you got the Young Person Basketball Podcast. We are the Old Person Basketball Podcast. We're a little washed. But Gil, what advice would you give to RJ about the podcast game and the do's and don'ts?
The do's is just be you. Just be an athlete.
Right.
Right? There's this a big division between reporters and athletes.
Right.
Reporters have no respect for privacy, emotion. They have no respect for it. They're trying to get the big, the big story. Like, I see you every day, sir.
Yeah.
There's nothing here
to talk about.
As an athlete, you have the stories. You understand what a player's thinking, what a player's going through, how he's gonna react to this topic versus this topic. So from there, it's just, you have your questions. And from there, it's just more feel.
Yeah.
You're just trying to feel the person out, trying to, you can see where his mood is taking the conversation.
Right, yeah.
So obviously recently y'all talked about Draymond. We've seen this shift with the whole new media thing. What do you think about players like yourself, current guys now being able to take control of their own narrative, have their own brand, and have ways that they can now communicate with the fans? That like Gil mentioned, you don't got to go through reporters now. You can do it direct. You got to come to the Young Person Basketball Podcast if you want to see what RJ is really about.
I mean, I think it's great. You know, I feel like a lot of times, just like you kind of said, you know, reporters, you know, they want the big story, whether it's good or bad. And I feel like, especially with myself, I want to just touch on things that whoever I'm interviewing is comfortable with. And we can just rock with it that way. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I feel like with the whole new media thing for players and athletes to be able to express themselves, not on the court or on the field, just in whatever they do, but do it as themselves and, like, actually understand it from an athlete's perspective, that's what I think is dope.
I agree.
So we out here, obviously, Vegas NBA Summer League. What's the main thing that you're focusing on this summer in terms of just, you know, working on your skill set that you're going to really apply to next season?
I'd probably say, honestly, it sounds cliche, but everything, for real. But I would probably say one thing is just being in the best shape. I'm like one of the guys on my team that got to guard pretty much the best player every night when we play. So you got to be in shape to do that. So I ain't going to lie. So I'd probably say just getting the best shape I can be in all summer and just continue to work for it.
You know, one secret that I learned from Chris Mullin, because, you know, I got the same question. What do you want to work on? And, you know, every day.
Yeah.
And he was like, how long are you planning on being in the league? And I was like, 10, 15 years. He said, well, then work on one thing every summer. By the time you get to your 10, 15 years,
yeah,
you then came a complete player.
Right.
He said, so, you know, when you go into the summers, you don't lose what you already have, right? So all you're doing is like, I'm not good at step backs, I'm just gonna work on step backs. Then the next summer, I'm gonna work on this. Next summer, now think about everything you've just added to your game. By the time you're 5 years in, you're maxing out and you don't even know. You became a max player, not even realizing.
Well, realizing what you was doing.
Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things like, you know, you want to get in shape. That's a lot of bleachers, boy.
Yeah.
That's a lot of bleachers.
Bleachers, lines, whatever.
It is, but it's not. Like, you know, you have your regular condition, you know, during the summer. And during the season, it's just maintaining. You got to remember, you know, 4 games in 5 nights. You know, you don't work out as much. You know, just like do a mile here and there on your off days just to keep your conditioning.
Right.
That's really all.
Not sure.
So you mentioned conditioning so you could be able to lock up and work on that defensive side. When you look at some of those guys that you got to lock up against, who are some of the toughest players that you got to face from that standpoint?
I would probably say the two toughest players I probably had to guard was Kyrie and Zach LaVine. Those are probably the two toughest players I had to guard.
So we know Kyrie, but what is it about Zach's game that makes it so tough?
I just think he's like so fluid with his movements. Like he's so elusive and so like almost like he's almost really flashy but really simple at the same time. Like he's coming off ball screens. Like he's just so athletic, you never know what he's gonna do. And he has a jump shot. He can get to the basket, he's finishing over bigs. Like I think he's a complete player all around, especially on the offensive side for sure.
But you got something for him?
For sure.
Okay. Are you watching tape yet?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of it?
I watched a lot of tape last year.
So what happens with, just watch types, right? Just watch, like, type of players. Like, you know, you got your Kyrie guards. So you just watch how he scores, right? So, like, with me, he's a combo scorer. Meaning everything he's going to do is in either twos or threes. So you never really go for the first move because it's going to be a second and a third.
Yeah.
Same thing with James Harden, right? Just like offense, I'm reading you as a player, right? So if you're a great, you know, first stopper, you're going to stop the first move, you're going to stop the second move, but you're bad at the third move.
Yeah.
I'm working on combo moves for threes on specialty guys.
Yep.
You know, usually, you know, if a bad defender, just one, you know, like... a decent defender, I got a boom, boom.
Yeah.
Third, I know you can't guard all three.
Right. Yeah,
so, you know, I'm pulling out that on depending on who I'm guarding. Right. Same thing with you. Your defense goes off of those type of players. You got your combos, you got your one-liners,
right.
And you got your one-two guys. You got your very athletic, you got a very, you know, so you have to have a defensive style for everyone.
Every single player, mm-hmm. I feel you.
So instead of watching every player, you're just watching
Types of players,
So let's talk about your pops. Obviously, your pops is a big-time legend, very, very supportive of you. What does it mean for you to have your pops just rock with you so tough?
Yeah, that's my guy. I mean, ain't really much more to say. Like, that's my pops, you know what I'm saying? But he's my coach all growing up. He's my brother's coach now. But just like when I went to New Zealand overseas, you know, my family came with me. when I was with Denver, I got drafted there. My family came with me. When I got traded, my family came. So I feel like I've always just had that support system, you know, from my parents and my brother too, because he sacrificed a lot too by just moving. But he gonna be a hooper too. But nah, my pops for sure. He definitely, you know, instilled family with me from the jump. So I feel like that's kept me pretty level-headed since I've been in the league.
And how do you balance that relationship? My pops used to coach me when I was younger. He used to get on my ass a lot. Like it became tough because you go from, you know, coach and player to father and son.
Yeah, I hated my pops for sure.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
100%.
Yeah. Hey, I tell people that shit all the time. They can't, like, I hated my dad for sure.
Yeah, I love my dad to death, but there's still some stuff I don't forgive him on for being my coach. I'm like, yo, you didn't even have to do me like that.
Because I'm dealing with the same thing with my son. Because you got to remember, we know your weaknesses.
Right.
And we're going to keep poking at them until you fix it.
Right.
You know, that's just point blank. That's who we are as fathers. We're trying to get you from, you know, making the same mistakes we make.
Right.
And if we made it here, you're supposed to make it here. Right. Our grandkid's supposed to make it here. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's how I feel now, though, because, like, when my brother's playing, I feel like I'm coaching him so hard, like I'm his pops, you know what I'm saying?
He got to do it.
I don't even want to imagine what I'd be like if I had a kid. I had a son that's playing, I'm coaching him, I'd probably be crazy, so.
You know, but that's what makes the best. If you look at, you know, most top athletes, they were around, you know, other athletes. Their parents is athlete.
Right, yeah.
Or their great parents, you know, great grandparents is athlete. So you're just trying to keep it moving. Stop hitting, you know? And I told my son, I said, look, I worked out 3-4 times a day. I wish I could have did more.
Right.
Knowing, you know,
where everyone, what you know now, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so it's like, yo, you over here practicing twice. Bro, you trash.
Yeah.
you're about to be a D-League tenure. Boy, go this route. You better get the work here.
So one of my favorite moments from the 2020 NBA draft, Bucks drafted you, heard about the trade, Pops grabbed the hat, like, now get this joint out of here.
Yeah, that was crazy. I didn't even know, I didn't see that till like 3 days later. Like, I just was oblivious. I just was not focused. I was really wondering where I was going. First of all, I was kind of pissed off, but like, I went so late, and so I'm like already kind of mad a little bit, but then like I hear my name call, but I'm trying to figure out what team I'm going to, so I'm really like kind of locked in. And then like 3 days later, I seen the clip on like ESPN, and I was like, wait, you did that? I was like, anyways, but yeah, I didn't even know.
So how did that, I want to say, that draft day trade and getting traded from the Nuggets to the Magic just help you understand the business side of the league?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think that was probably the first times I understood that the basketball was a business. I feel like I did at a younger age, though, because I went overseas at like 17, 18. So I kind of, you know, seeing guys didn't have to go to school. You know, all they did was play basketball. Now that you're not just providing for yourself, providing for your family. So when that happened, it was kind of like, it was like, I can't like sit here and sulk about it, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a new opportunity and like new coaches, new GM, new ownership, everything. Go make the best of it.
You know what's so crazy about like draft day? Because there's so many deals being made,
right,
under the table, and you have no idea. It's like
no idea.
You have no ideas. Like, so like if a team picks you up, then trade you. That was a deal that they already had in play.
For sure.
Like my guy. The guy I want is probably gonna be taken. So you take him for me, and then I'll take your guy, and then we'll just trade him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
You know, it's just like if I'm Jason Tatum, I would be pissed for like a while, because he was the number one pick. Boston had the number one pick.
Oh yeah.
They wanted Jason. Right? Yep. They wanted Jason, so all they had to do was just keep that pick.
Yeah.
Nah, they wanted to dupe some so they knew Philly couldn't pick him because they had Ben Simmons. They knew Lakers wouldn't pick him because they had Brandon Ingram. Yep. So they was like, Philly, I'll make a deal with you. You give me some picks, I'll give you number three. So they get the same player.
Yeah.
With some extra stuff.
And a different pick.
Yeah. At a different pick.
Nah,
if I'm Jason Tatum, I'm like, I could have been number one.
Yeah. That shit happened to my pops in 77. Bucks had the first and third, and they drafted Kent Benson from Indiana first, white dude. My pops was always salty about it. You know, and Phoenix had number two. But, you know, you probably remember Kent, Kareem binged him up in his first game in the league. Like, he elbowed Kareem. Kareem just stole on that. But just to that point, it's like, you know, but just like, come on, man. Like, I wanted to be number one. Now I'm three. Like, give me a break. But you mentioned talking about the NBL. So, NBL, I want to just know, what was that experience like when you saw the toilets flush in reverse for the first time?
Yeah, I feel like everything over there was a little weird. I ain't going to lie. Everything was a little different. But yeah, I feel like it was a fun experience, but you are right. The toilets was weird. And then they said like there used to be like spiders and snakes in the toilets in Australia. For sure. And once they told me that, I was like, yo, I'm tripping. I didn't ever want to go to the bathroom. I feel like
this is real shit.
Yeah, no, facts.
No. First of all, I'm just gonna stop both of y'all right now. Who looks at the toilet to see if it spins the other way?
If you're in Australia, you want to make sure you're bodied?
Nah, but they told me
you
that
you want to make sure the body goes down if you're in Australia.
I had to look for it.
That's like the thing everybody talks about. I've never been to Australia, but that's the thing that everybody talks about.
Yeah. I've never been to Australia, that's why.
I've heard. But the spiders and snakes thing too, I heard too. And it's like, ooh,
serious?
Yeah.
That's serious.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, thank you.
That's no joke, though.
So what did that experience, you know, bypassing college, going straight to that pro, what was that experience like for you out there?
It was fun. I mean, like, I just felt like I got to have like a whole new family, a whole new culture. I felt like the competition was great over there. I felt like I got a lot better. I felt like, you know, my time there just to focus on basketball instead of having to like juggle books too, I feel like that helped me too. And then also like the business side, like I don't know how I would have reacted if I had got traded and never would have been in like, you know, a business earlier, you know, it kind of might would have messed me up. But you know, I had ups and downs over there for sure, you know, but I learned, you know, it was a business, so.
It was fun. Do you ever regret not going to college?
I don't regret not going to college, but like, do I think college would have been fun? For sure. Yeah, definitely would have think college would have been
NBA
fun.
NBA's fun.
That's what my boss said. NBA's fun.
College was a little too fun for some of us, just to be real. You know what I mean?
NBA's real fun. It's real fun. The only person I know that went over there is probably Brennan Jennings, LaMelo, right? I never got to ask Brennan Jennings about it. Was it more business or was it like trying to get into your own, trying to figure out like who you are, or were you just trying to?
I was trying to get to it for real.
Okay.
But you definitely trying to figure out who you are, like who you are as a player, who you want to become. You know, you go from, you know, being, you know, high school phenom, and then now you're on a team where dudes are trying to win to eat, you know what I'm saying? Instead of like when to go to, you know, Whataburger after the game, you know what I'm saying? So it definitely had the business side, but like at the same time, I was still trying to get to it. Like, I was trying to get up out of there and come over here, come back.
So what was that experience like for you going, obviously high school, now to playing with grown ass men, and just kind of the differences, body types, all that type of stuff, just the physicality of the game out there?
I feel like it was definitely more physical, but like I think they hyped it up a little bit more than what I, you know what I'm saying? Like they were like, oh, it's gonna be super physical. And I'm like, okay, like Andrew Bogut did set some hard screens, I ain't gonna lie. My first game was against Andrew Bogut. And yeah, he caught me a couple times, but after that I was good then. After that I was cool.
I really never believe in the physical, they play more physical. Like there's referees, those are called fouls.
No, yeah, for sure.
But you know what I mean? 100%. It's like, you know, that's why like some of these, you know, like veterans, before me veterans,
yeah.
When they talk about like, yo, I would've did this and that, like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's a foul.
It's a foul.
Oh, that's my biggest pet peeve, dog. That's my biggest pet peeve. Oh yeah, I'd have clotheslined you when you come to the rim. Okay, that's a foul.
In the 80s though, or they call They let some of that ride though.
Listen,
they was calling that though. They called the foul.
Like
it might not have been a flagrant one or two, but.
A flagrant one or two. Do I get my two free throws or not?
Right. Yeah.
You know, Michael Jordan shot 10 free throws, so obviously they were calling it.
Most definitely. Let's talk about your transition to the NBA. Obviously going to the Nuggets. Which players kind of helped you understand just how to be a pro and really helped you just kind of, you know, get acclimated to that NBA life?
I'd probably say Gary Harrison, Jamal Murray, and Monte Morris. Those three dudes helped me really when I was in Denver. Just more on the basketball side, Gary probably just like off the court and just how to deal with like the NBA life, you know, the ups and downs of it.
Wait. Is any of them people older than 25?
Yeah. Gary is. He the only one. But see, we didn't have vets when I was in Denver. I'm trying to think who was the, it might have been, was it? Who was the oldest on my team? It might have been Jamichael Green. But he's still kind of young too then. He's maybe, what, 30?
Yeah, that's.
Will Barton was 28, 29. Yeah, Lee getting young.
Yeah.
I ain't have nobody like that. The most vet I ever had since I've been playing is Rolo, Robin Lopez. Yeah. But Rolo cool, he don't really talk too much.
He just be chilling. And what did Gary Harris teach you about the off the court stuff that you learned? Like, what was kind of the most surprising thing to you about making that adjustment to the NBA?
Probably just like the highs and the lows, just like always staying even keeled. Mm-hmm. That's probably the best person I've seen just even kill. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen Gary like start the season, shot like 1 for 25 from three the first couple games, and end of the season shooting like 39-40%. You know, just like he's never too high, he's never too low. He's always in the gym, he's always working. So that's probably the person that I looked at the most. And I still look at it.
That is, you know, the key to an 82-game season,
right?
You never want to get too high when you're doing well, and never want to get too low. You got to understand that you're not going to make every shot. You're not going to miss every shot. There's going to be games where you go 20 for 20 if everything lines up. There's going to be games where you go 0 for 20.
Yeah.
You know, but those two things are rare.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So from there, you just, you know, I call it counting buckets. You know, for the most part, I'm trying to get about 7 to 9 buckets in, trying to get about 7 to 10 free throws made.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, so that's, you know, so instead of stressing myself out, like usually, you know, if I say I'm going to score 40 on you, it's more of, you know, I'm going to try to score 7, 7, 7.
Right.
I'm going to make a layup, make a three, hit a free throw, maybe a mid-range, and I play the game exactly like that. So I'm never stressing like, oh man, I only got 3 points.
Right.
And I'm like, shit, I only need three layups, you know, 2 threes, you know, in the next 3 quarters, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then from everything, everything is just extra.
Right.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, when you start, you know, sitting there like, and I'm averaging 28, I only got 4 right now, I can see it in your face.
Yeah.
Like, he's about to have a rough one.
So you look at, obviously, the league now, Steph, the explosion of the three-point shot, but you focus a lot, too, in the mid-range. I know your pops are really heavy on kind of locking that and ingrained into your game, but scoring on all three levels. So how important is that to you to be a complete player and be able to score on all three levels?
I think it's really important. Like you said, Steph, he done took the 3-point shot to just a whole different, you know, level. There's dudes that's not taking fast breaks and shooting threes, but I feel like it's good. People don't even understand though. Steph will shoot a couple mid-ranges. You know, Steph is one of the best, I feel like one of the best finishers around the rim as a guard. You know, people only think he shoots threes, so I definitely think it's important to be a three-level scorer. There's specialists, you know, you know, you got your Duncan Robinsons. You know, you just don't leave him open on the three-point line. But I feel like those three-level scorers, those are the toughest to guard. And for me personally, you know, that's Kyrie, Dame, Steph. I think those are all three-level scorers. KD, three-level scorer. Like, when you have that mid-range, it's hard to stop. For sure.
See, what happens is I think the NBA puts – or just reporting around the game, they put so much emphasis on – the three ball,
right?
Even when I played, everyone's like, oh, 3-point, shoot 3-point. And I was like, you know, I averaged 10 free throws, right?
Right,
yeah. You know, I post up, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. Most of my points came from free throws and threes, but the highlights, I mean, free throws and posting up, but the highlights are the threes.
Yeah.
The big shots are the threes, right. You know? So I mean, so no one realized, like, the best scorers are three-level scorers.
For sure.
Like, so you can look at Steph. If Steph was just a three-point shooter, he will be easy to guard.
For sure.
But because he can go and hit you with the pop, take two dribbles in, hit you with that, go in there, make layups around the rim. Because he can do all three, it's really hard to really.
It's hard to guard him. Yeah.
So you mentioned you watch a ton of tape. Which guys are you studying and peeling stuff from their game to add to yours?
Honestly, this year I was watching. I started after the season watching a lot of Jordan Poole. I just like the way he plays. Like, it just always looks like you. I guess you can kind of say with that Steph, but I think even a little bit more than Steph, you just never know what Jordan Poole's gonna do. He could shoot something crazy, like something out of this world, and you'd be like, what is he doing? But then, like, four or five times down, like, next trips down, that it works. You know what I'm saying? So he's one of the guys that I've actually started watching a lot just because his offensive game, I think he has a lot in his bag.
So we're talking about the Nuggets, and that was a young squad. Now you're on the Magic. That's a young squad as well. So who do you look to on that squad for mentorship?
G. Harris. G. Harris on the team. So, I mean.
He rolled with you.
What else we got on the Yeah.
So you 3 years in, you damn near the vet. Like, almost for real, I'm saying.
I'm the third youngest on the team, and I don't think we have, Rolo just left, I don't think we have anybody over 30. We don't have one player over 30, I don't think.
Ooh,
Terrence man. Ross, T. Ross is, T. Ross I think is 30. Or 31, 30 or 31.
That arena is a little different, huh?
Which one?
Magic.
What you mean, the arena?
It's better than?
Than Denver?
Denver.
Yeah. I like it a lot better than Denver's arena, for sure. I like it better than Denver's arena, for sure.
Do they still got chefs and all that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Breakfast, lunch. Yeah. Breakfast, lunch.
Everything.
That was the first time, you know, I'm on one of my last teams, and I got there and they had, like, you didn't have to spend no money.
Yeah.
You know, you had the breakfast, you had the lunch.
Oh, everything.
You had the dinner. I'm taking plates home.
We just got a new facility, too. They're about about to be done in, like, 2 weeks. This is the most expensive in the NBA. They just built it.
I'm serious?
Facility. Yeah.
Did you go to any of the clubs after the game?
They didn't. They shut it down because it's been COVID, so there was nothing.
Oh, you never. Oh.
Yeah, there's.
After games, like, you know, like Duhan them.
Yeah.
It's like, we're about to go to the club. And I'm like, the club, like, down here? It's like, nah, baby, upstairs.
I heard Miami got one. Miami, the Heat got one.
Upstairs?
Yeah.
I never got to experience.
Club in the arena?
Yes.
Nah.
But the players Heat are going to the one. Club
yes.
and turning up in their own, like,
yes.
Nah, I imagine that's what the Forum Club was like back in the day. If I had
that was a little different.
Probably. But not at that level, though.
No, serious. Like, our team used to, like, they'll eat, and then they'll go straight up to the club.
Yeah, that's wild.
Number like, yeah. Oh, y'all are.
That's wild.
So, yeah, I got to hit you. We're at Summer League, and one of the things I love about Summer League is you get a lot of these young dudes in. They get a bunch. You get all the per diem at once, right?
Yeah.
And they out and about. They in the casino getting it in.
Yeah.
You stay away from that stuff, but when you're seeing those guys, is there any advice or tips you give them? Like, yo, just keep your ass in the room, man. You don't need to be doing all that.
You don't got to stay in the room. Just keep your bread for real. The casino never loses for real.
Man.
I don't know.
I'm gonna say, man, go down there and lose all my money anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then you think you up, and then you want to try to win some more, and you lose it all, and now you mad. You going back to the room mad for the rest of the night. Now the per diem ain't coming for another 6 days, 5 days. Yeah, I'm not honest with that.
It's funny, y'all talking about all these young dudes in the league. I was here a couple of days ago, and it was just a crew of dudes, but like Jason Tatum was the oldest dude there, and I'm just looking like, how is this dude the OG now?
At 24.
You know, like, how is he he's the OG. He's like the big bro now, the crew trying to figure out what to do. But when you are, like, what's been the coolest experience for you in Summer League?
Honestly, probably just seeing all the guys, like, you know, seeing everybody. You know, you dap up people in the lobby, you just hanging out for real. I think I was talking to Brandon earlier, like, I think Summer League is almost getting bigger than like All-Star Weekend.
Yeah.
Like, I feel
actually, you're right.
Yeah, and we were saying, like, it's because like All-Star Weekend is in February, it's cold pretty much wherever they have it at. They don't have it in no good cities no more, mm-hmm. I feel like. So nobody really wants to go. It's a 2-day event. Like, Summer League, it's a 2 weeks long in Vegas, like, who don't want to come? Everybody comes.
Because, you know, like, speaking of that, like, if you just, through Instagram, you see, okay, Kyrie's there, okay, Westbrook.
Yeah.
Like, it's like everyone just comes right. just to watch. Because, remember, it's basketball, so everyone just coming to watch basketball just to, you know, put their support out there, see who's there. You know, you got training here with Bunasar. So, you know, you get a little bit, now you get the gamble.
Right.
You know, yeah. So you get everything for veterans to actually just, yeah, I'm about to go to Vegas for a couple of days, see what's popping over there.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, it feels like adult AAU now. Like, back in the day, you used to come out here, no bread, circus, just walk the Midway.
No bread, circus.
You remember those times. You might be too young for those times.
Yeah, too young.
Yeah, I haven't been to circus. But
you would just see the crew of the team walking up and down the strip. Nobody had shit to do. Nobody had no money. But now you got everybody big balling. This is right after everybody got their contract extension and all that type of stuff. So guys are just out here really turning up.
Like, no, literally. AAU, you have everyone sleeping in the same room.
Oh, for sure.
No bread.
Oh, I done definitely did that.
But we had the best time at We sit there looking for quarters that fell on the floor. Like, come on.
But you knew who the top dudes were because they were the ones playing all the carnival games. Their coaches were obviously breaking bread.
We was just walking the strip. When I was there, we was walking the strip. Thought we was having fun.
But yeah.
We were doing nothing at all. Like, nothing.
Nothing to do.
The best time, so.
So let's talk about Jamal Mosley a little bit. I know he's really trying to bring some toughness to this squad, but what's it been like for you having him as your head coach?
It's been great. I think Mose is a player's coach. I think that he's somebody for the young guys that we have that can encourage the process of, like, it's an everyday grind. It's not going to happen right away. You know, he's an assistant coach, you know, forever, got his first head coaching job. And I feel like he kind of wants to help us build in that same way. Like, no one, like, I'm not an idiot to say I'm going to average 40 points next year, or the team is going to be 72-10. Like, you know, it's a growth process, and I feel like he also brings that same mindset as a coach because he went through it as well.
He was my coach in AAU.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What squad?
Pumps.
Oh, okay.
You didn't have him with the Pumps?
Yeah, I rock with the Pumps for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I had him with the Pumps, or not? Yeah. I didn't listen to him.
And what's it mean to you to have a guy?
No, I didn't. Anyway.
You said you didn't listen to him?
No. Pass the ball, Gil?
Nah.
I'm not passing the ball.
You want to pass it?
Get that vocabulary out your mouth. Just say, shoot it, Gil.
Shoot it, Gil.
When you get tired of shooting,
maybe pass.
Maybe look at your teammates. So, if you want me to pass to my teammates, sub me out.
That's dumb fun.
He said, sub me out. If you want me to pass, just sub me out right now. Especially AAU back then.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't pass the ball.
Yeah. I didn't pass an AAU.
It was just me. Yeah. I'm trying to make it to college.
Yeah, I feel you.
This ain't no team thing. I ain't trying to win no team championship.
Your pops coached you all the way through AAU?
Yeah, he coached me all the way through every year. My last year at AAU, when I was a junior, I played in the EYBL for like two sessions, and Jermaine O'Neal was my coach.
How was that?
I messed with Jermaine. It's my guy. Yeah. He let me rock out. I told him, I was like, I'm coming play for the team, Drive Nation, and he let me rock out, and then we went, I think, 0-8, and I said, I'm going to college. I mean, I'm reclassifying up.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah, I'm out. But that's still my guy. He know why we had to, you know, stop playing. I was like, oh, yeah.
And next time you tell the story, you got to leave the O&A part out. You're going to say whatever.
We might have been 0-8.
You can say whatever. We would have
rocked. Maybe 0-4.
No, we won a championship. Yeah, we there.
You won a championship?
No, I'm just saying. If you would have said that.
Oh, I never got past the first round.
Yeah, you know, those teams were not getting it.
Well, I had
Atlanta
50.
Celtics and
that's
all
what I'm
the
saying.
Squad.
I had 50.
That was the most.
I don't know what happened in the second round. We came here. We was here for 2 days. We back home.
Nah, I feel that. Yeah.
So back to Coach Mosley, what does it mean for you to have a guy that's playing in the league? You mentioned Jermaine O'Neal coaching you too, just in terms of just that respect level and him having been in the trenches and done that before.
Like you said, we respect that he's been in the trenches just like we are, how we're trying to grind and build this Magic team back up. So like when he says something, we respect it and we're listening and we're understanding just because like he only wants the best for the team. And for himself as well, like, you know, he wants to become one of those best coaches in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? So to have somebody that has his own grind like that, smooth.
So you guys drafted Paolo Banchero number one overall this year, added him to the squad. You guys gotten a chance to play with each other a little bit this summer.
Yeah.
What do you like about Paolo's game and what do you think the future holds for both of y'all?
I think he's just a complete player. I didn't watch a lot of Duke games this past year, but like, I'm a Kansas guy, but what was I about to say?
No love for Coach K?
No one does.
No, okay.
I don't know about that, but No love for Coach K?
Personal beef.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Beef is eternal. The beef is eternal.
Man, he did not run from no spot.
Y'all gotta squash it, man. Y'all gotta, you and Coach K gotta squash it up. We need to get that.
Unless we go back to 06 and he plays me. Other than that, nah.
Ain't nothing he could do?
No. No.
Damn.
The USA team?
Yep.
He ain't play you?
No.
At all?
No.
Like zero?
No, he has subbed me. He has subbed me in. I get three quick buckets. Sub me out. We up 20. I'm like number 15 on the team. I should be playing right now. No, nah.
He never gave you a reason?
Nope. Arizona? I'm sure it was Arizona. I'm sure.
They don't with the Pac-12. Well, you said
it was the first time I like.
Did he recruit you?
No, hell no. No, but it was the first time in my career where I actually like took a back seat. Like right. You didn't have to put me back there. I was like, yo, I called him on 4th of July. Hey, Coach K. this is Gilbert. Happy 4th to the family and stuff. You know, I'm gonna put my ego aside and I just wanna win for the country.
Right.
Blah blah blah. Whatever you need me to do, I'll do
America.
I did all that, went into the camp. Was taking charges, was doing.
Oh, you was really.
Like I was really like playing defense,
clapping, talking on defense.
The problem was this: he gave me a team that helped me do what I do best.
Right.
You know, I got Kirk Heinrich, I got Antoine Jameson, I got Brad Miller, I have Bruce Bowen. And we're going against LeBron, Melo, D-Wade, Joe Johnson. So only way we compete is they just give me the ball.
Right.
I don't think he liked the style.
He was trying to get to it.
But I had to.
Right, nah, for sure.
You know, so we had like, we'll have like, you know, it'd be like 30 to 25. I got 23 of our points. And I don't know if he didn't like that. Clearly I was the best player there.
Right.
And I mean, no, we did have LeBron James there. Yeah. Clearly from practice, I was the best player.
Right.
And you know, he was benching me.
Coach K, you got to erase the hate, player. Come on.
Hey,
it'd be like that, man.
You know what I mean? Like if I had Duke players on my team, not playing.
Oh yeah.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
So let's get back to Paolo. Is there anything about his game that surprised you now, seeing him up close and personal, getting a chance to get some games in with him?
IQ. I think he has a really high basketball IQ. Like, he can pass the ball really well. I didn't expect that coming in. But like just like he'll make a move one-on-one and like as soon as like the read's off or the jumper's not there, he can make those quick dishes to the corner. Like in the overtime game we had 2 days ago, like he drove, I'm spacing for the three, he loses the ball and like in an instant fires it to the box and we score and win. And I was like, yo, his IQ is very good. Okay. I like it.
Yeah, I think he played quarterback a little bit in high school, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, he's quarterback, too?
Yeah.
He played quarterback. So, yeah.
I know, Gil, we're going to get you on the Paolo train, bro. Eventually.
Oh, because he went to Duke, too.
You know, like, nobody from Duke?
Is that what it is?
Listen.
I just thought because he was light-skinned, but.
It's, like, I'm Kyrie, I'm Tatum, but I just don't call them Dukies.
You just Kyrie and Tatum. You don't even care what
Brandon Ingram. Anybody, you know what? I do this. Anybody after like 3 years, you's a Duke.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. If you was one of Coach K's favorites.
Oh yeah, it was real beef.
Besides JJ Redick, I like JJ Redick.
JJ's a rumor.
That is my guy.
Yeah, JJ's a rumor. Yeah. He transcends. He gets it to go play from the cookout. Not into the cookout, across the street.
He gets across the street.
JJ, tinfoil, open it when you get home.
He gets a to-go plate?
Open it when you get home, JJ.
He can't come in?
No. Nah. The cookout is very sacred. Black people get mad when you start inviting people in.
Oh, like the father who paid his child support, he's across the street.
Unwrap that tinfoil.
You give him a plate, though.
You give him a plate, though.
Yeah, maybe a little swine on there, I'm going to be real. When you look at this Magic squad, though, I mean, I think y'all future is bright. Y'all got a good young core, good nucleus. How excited are you for about the future of the squad and what they're going to be able to do this season and beyond?
I mean, I think the sky's the limit for real. I think we have a lot of guys who want to win, and we have a lot of guys who really haven't won. So I feel like it's the eagerness to win and to like put our, you know, egos to the side and worry about winning is there. I think Gary and T. Ross may be the only people that really, really kind of want anything, and really they haven't really won. You know what I'm saying? They're still looking for that hunger to really win. So I mean, just with the talent that we have and that we've built, I just think it's gonna be fun, and I feel like next year we'll make those strides throughout the season. There'll be a lot of ups and downs, but I think we'll make those strides.
Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of downs. How many games y'all win last year?
I don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah, it's gonna be around the same this year.
We could have won more.
We've just been realistic.
We really could have won more though, but
yeah, we.
That's usually what bad teams say.
But this is cool. You know what I mean? All you do is just look as individuals. You just keep getting better as individuals,
right? Yeah.
And then eventually the talent. Like I think sometimes when coaches, mostly general managers, they go into the summer thinking about who they can add to the team, not realizing develop your players. Like if I'm a coach, my first message to the team is this: how many people want to be max players? Hopefully they all raise their hands.
Right.
So if you guys all want to be max players, then let's practice. Let's train like max players.
Right.
Like if Steph is taking 1,000 shots a day, that's what y'all should be doing.
Right.
1,000 shots a day. Y'all should be in here. I shouldn't even have to have practice.
Right.
Because y'all in here 6 o'clock, from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, go eat breakfast from 10 o'clock this, then we play, we practice.
Yeah.
Like y'all should be trying to, like I want all my players to be maxed players.
Right.
Like I want to be able to say, yo, I maxed him out. Like you can fire me, but he got maxed. Yeah. That's what a coach's job is. You trying to look for, you know, oh, I'm gonna make the KD trade and make me a coach. Nah, right. coaching is making sure your players
are developing. Right.
Like I'm not judging you off of how many wins you got. Like I want to look at a player and say, all right, this is what he did last year. This is what he's doing this year. Okay, I know. Y'all put in some work. He put in some work. Y'all put in some work.
Yeah.
You got a system that just added him because he wasn't part of that rotation last year.
Right.
Now he is like pool, right? Like you can see, okay, he wasn't part of the rotation his first year. Like last year, okay, that's a new player. Y'all developed him. Now look at
Facts.
It. It only takes 1 year.
Facts.
Shit, all it takes is one good month at the right time. One good month at the end of the month. You know, I mean, I met a player, and Mark Jackson, he signed. He played 25 games at the end of the season.
Yeah.
$25 million for 25 games.
Sheesh.
Today, that's $50 million for 25 games. You know what I mean? So, hey, listen. You go out there, you do you, somebody's watching.
Yep. Thanks.
So you guys are working hard, obviously, but you like to have some fun too. I'm hearing stories that the Magic players love to prank on the road and do all kind of crazy stuff.
Hey, why are you getting this information?
We ask around. We do our due diligence. So what's the craziest prank that you see? I know prank is all a part of the NBA, and that's kind of helps keep the mood light and develop that camaraderie for people at home. Oh, y'all f***ing around like, nah, this is a part of it too. Like, this is how you develop a team. So what's the craziest prank that you've seen during your time with the Magic?
This one's pretty bad. We put stink bombs in Chuma Okeke's car, and we put them inside the air vents. So like he was looking for them, and he didn't know what was happening. And he trying to turn the air on to get the smell out.
I never thought of that one.
And he sent us a.
Kill taking notes.
He sent us a Snapchat of him driving in his car with his shirt like this, talking about I hate y'all. And like for like 4 days, they couldn't get the smell out of his car. It was bad. Yeah, we kind of felt bad after that one. Yeah,
man, that's a good. But you know what's so funny? Like just
I paint
with that,
his car too.
Just with that is just
you what?
I paintballed his car too.
Okay.
Ooh, and the dents?
No. See, I didn't want to actually shoot the paintball gun because I was afraid of the dents. So I just took the paintballs and threw them at the car.
Oh no, because I understand because I shot the car.
I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I'm glad I didn't do that because then I'd have been.
Yeah, I did all that. Yeah, that you jumped in the car and you tried to drive off.
Yeah. Taking people's keys for hours and hours. Yeah.
Like people, like, and that's the thing, like when people hear stories, when the media hears stories, right? You hear all these stories about pranking and they're like, they're immature. Yeah. We're kids, yeah, you know, we're kids. We're doing kid shit. Just because you give us millions of dollars doesn't mean we're not gonna be kids anymore. Like, and most of the times when you're doing silly shit, it's in the locker room.
Yeah.
When we go home, I don't see them no more. So
it'd be in the locker room. In the locker room or in the garage.
Now you understand where the gun story. It's in the locker room.
It's where
It's the locker. That's what we know. It's our playground.
That's a sanctuary. You know that.
That's our sanctuary. That's
where it really goes down. No, it goes.
Oh, that's hilarious.
If you just listen to Gil, he'll
like, I've paintballed inside the arenas, lockers and everything.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. So I got a couple more for you. You know, you caught a few bodies during your career, your young NBA career. If you could dunk on anybody, we'll say past or present, if you could catch anybody slipping, who would it be?
It's cliche, but Bron. And I have a reason, though. It's because we were playing in LA, and I think I got a steal on Russ, and I'm dribbling the ball down. I think Austin Reeves is on, like, my shoulder, and I, like, bump him off. And, like, I'm like, you know what? Bump him off. I'm right there at the rim. I'm about to just lay it up and just get back on defense. Pented. Crazy. Bron came from nowhere. I didn't see him. No one said anything. It was just like he flew from the other side. And, like, I seen that clip so many times. It was used on commercials. It was used social media. It pisses me off every time I see it. So that's why.
Yeah,
because
you said.
And I'm mad because I didn't dunk it. My dad always was like, why didn't you dunk it? I was like, I didn't see him coming at all.
He seen you though.
Yeah, no,
we all seen the results of what he seen.
Yeah, no, for sure. So
it's like that Supreme Dream schedule. You come out of nowhere to beat that shit.
Yeah, him or I would probably say Gobert, but that's
Gobert. What?
Yeah, he be blocking stuff. I ain't gonna lie.
I want to dunk on other guards, bro.
No guard. I feel like no guard's really jumping with me though.
I know that's why I want to dunk on a guard. Like,
they ain't gonna jump with me.
I got dunked. The worst dunk that I received was from Jason Terry.
Oh, when he caught him?
No, he caught me.
Oh, Jason Terry yammed on you?
Yeah, like, and I helped him. It was one of those things. It was the dumbest.
Yeah, foul. I don't think I've been dunked.
He drove the lane, and you know how like you're going like this, and you try to push the arm up.
Oh yeah,
it's one of those just and I push the arm up, and it actually helped him dunk. Boop, and one. I'm like. Wait, that's not a real dunk. Oh
yeah.
My
God.
Like I was trying to like swipe up and just swipe them up and
it'd be like that.
I'm like, this is horrible.
Last question I got for you, a Texas guy. Obviously Texas Hoopers think they run the world now.
Sure.
You know, the Cali Hoopers probably have something to say about that.
Come on, how many NBA players they got? Like six?
Who?
Texas.
Texas? You talking about currently or just?
Just currently.
Currently? A lot.
No, that's from Texas, not played at Texas.
No, from the state of Texas.
Ooh, seven.
No, I think we have a lot more.
Give me your all Texas starting five. If you can make
this is about to be weak as shit. I know it is.
Go.
For current, it's not going.
It's current. Oh no, you can bring former guys in the mix too. But if you could make a starting five,
he doesn't know. Like,
no, I can get some people. I'm gonna put Larry Johnson at the four.
He's 6'6".
No, I'm putting him at the four.
Okay.
Here we go. Who's a center I need?
The LJ.
6'6".
Right. I need a center though. No, I'm gonna take the LJ back. I'm gonna put Chris Bosh at the four. I'm gonna put Chris Bosh at the four.
Was Shaq from Texas or am I tripping? He went to high school.
Shaq's definitely from Texas.
Come on, man. Help him out.
Appreciate that. Forgot, yeah.
He was stationed in San Antonio?
Yeah, San Antonio.
Sarge.
My high school coach coached against Shaq. God. He's the only coach to ever beat Shaq in high school.
Okay.
Okay, right. So I got Shaq at the five, Chris Bosh at the four. I'm gonna put me at the one. I'm gonna put.
They got some players, Gil. They got some players.
I'm gonna put. Who's a two guard that I need?
No one.
Why am I stumped right now?
Because it's Texas.
No, I could, if I really had to, you caught me off guard with the question. I ain't gonna lie.
That's what we do here, but it was good nature.
I just don't really have anything else. I'm just gonna put my boy Tyrese Maxey at the, I'll put Julius. No, Marcus Smart or Julius. But
Marcus Smart?
Yeah. I can't think of anybody right now.
You got Steven Jackson, right?
You do have Stack.
Yeah. Stack 5. You got DeAndre Jordan?
You do have DeAndre Jordan.
I'm keeping Shaq, though, yeah. Keeping Shaq. I think we're good with Shaq.
I don't think y'all going to be Florida.
What?
No.
If we really looked right now, if we looked at the amount of players from Texas, and we could get a better starting five than
probably.
Than Cali.
You said Marcus Smart, so that just kind of like.
You going to let Marcus Smart?
For all Texas team? He got a guard like James Harden from L.A., probably like.
BD, I mean.
Baron Davis.
Yourself.
Jimmy.
Jimmy Butler, appreciate you.
Yeah, we got Clay.
We have an L.A. squad.
Yeah, we got
LA. Need some more Texas. Now, I need some more Texas. I ain't going to lie.
Trey Young.
We got.
Wait, Trey Young is from where?
Oklahoma. Close enough.
Who we got?
TJ Ford.
Who? Oh, yeah, TJ Ford.
Yeah, he might have been born out there.
Yeah, he was nice.
Compton, Texas Tech. I saw TJ Ford up in here. Remember the long shorts?
Mookie Blaylock.
They got a squad.
L.A.
That's standard. We run this.
It was standard.
Well, RJ, we appreciate you pulling up.
Appreciate
you for joining the Fubo Sports family.
Yes, sir.
Young Person Basketball Podcast dropping soon. We all going. So if it's Young Person Basketball Podcast, you can't have Gil on there, right? Because he's an old person.
Yeah, he's definitely old.
Or is it just from your vantage point?
He old head to act young.
Yeah.
I can't get old, bro.
It's smooth.
I can't get old, bro. For sure.
This has been another No Chill with Gilbert Arenas from Vegas at the Blue Wire Studio. We appreciate y'all. We'll see y'all soon.